when it's a worldly love, you are insecure. True love will kill all jealousy. And then in closing, I want to tell you, if you want to overcome jealousy, this is a serious sermon today, you've got to make sure Christ is the center and not yourself. Christ must be the center of your life. I know why some of you all are so hurt today. You made a God honor people. If you make your husband or your wife your idol, then the Lord gonna leave you. Am I right about it? Christ must be the center of your life. And Christ must be the center of your everyday being. The Bible says that if you love the world, you love not the Lord. If you love the world, you don't love God. How can a man say that he loved God? Amen. And then love the world. Because the world is an enemy to God. So what I'm trying to tell you, if you value your man or your woman more than you value God, you're on your road to destruction. Because you made material things the center of your life. Remember, my brothers and sisters, that man is nothing but flesh and blood. That woman is made out of flesh and blood. If you worrying about that house, that's a material thing. If you worry because somebody got a promotion, that ain't nothing but material. If you worry because somebody got on a better suit than you, that's material. You got to get your mind off of material things and put your mind on Jesus. Oh, Lordy, if you make Christ the center of your life, you won't be sitting up all night worrying about where somebody might be. You're so busy rejoicing in the Lord, and he'll give you satisfaction. I'm a living witness of that. If God becomes the center of your life, he'll make you happy and nobody around to talk to you. Ain't God all right? God will put joy down in your soul. And the devil will wonder what's keeping you. They'll wonder how come you're not sitting up all night. They'll wonder why you're not asking them where they've been. Tell them you got Jesus and he gives you joy. Ain't God all right? I'm going to tell all you church folk that are worried today, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Neither be thy images or just the workers of iniquity. They'll soon, they got to come down. Ain't God all right? I don't care what people do to you. One day God going to cut them down. You just leave them in the hand of God, and I know God will take care of them. Ain't God all right? I'm going to close here now. When I tell the story is told about a mean woman. This woman was so mean, she would throw dishwater over in the child of God's yard. But you know the child of God didn't worry. She just kept on smiling. See, when you know who you are and whose you are, you don't have to prove nothing. Every morning, that old mean woman would just throw her dishwater over in that woman's yard, trying to upset that Christian woman. But you know, the Christian woman didn't say a word. Time went by, that mean woman, she got sick. And nobody came to knock on her door. But a bit to her surprise, somebody knocked on the door. And guess who it was? It was her next door neighbor, the Christian woman. Yeah. When she walked in, she had some flowers, some beautiful roses in her hand. And she presented those roses to that mean woman. She said, "Oh my God, where did you get such roses from?" I never seen such pretty flowers. The Christian woman said to her, I'm not trying to be funny, and I didn't come over here to start nothing. But you know that dishwater that you threw over in my yard. I had some seed planted in my yard, and all this water just made my flowers grow. Ain't God all right? I don't care what people do to you. God is able to turn around everything they do to you. God is able to make the wrong folks do turn out to your best advantage. God is able to make your enemy. Oh! Won't it make them be your footstool? God is able. The very folk that used to laugh at you, they got to wait on you one day. God is able. The very folk that used to pull you down, now they got to come to your house. He's able. Anybody know he's able? If you just smile, treat them right, love them anyhow, I'm a living witness. Prayer will change things. Prayer will make your enemy leave you alone. If they throw something in your way, step on it. Keep moving higher. If they give you a little...
Hope you were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on. He's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Through praise, I know that he will. Amen. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And Lord, we pray that you would speak a word into the hearts and minds of this thy people that will remind them that you're God and that you're God all by yourself. We thank you and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now put those hands together and give God another great big praise offering for all that he is and all that he has done in our lives. I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And we will commence reading at the 14th verse and conclude with the 21st verse. Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 14 through 21. Let us read together. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. We thank God for the word and for the reading of the word, and we ask his blessings upon the hearers of the word, but most importantly upon the doers of the word. As you take your seats this morning, I want you to think with me in terms of a subject: giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. Amen. Our God is worthy to be praised. I said that our God is worthy to be praised. And y'all, I make that statement without any fear of contradiction. The fact that the great God of the universe chooses to include people like you and me in his plan suggests that we should thank him and give him praise. Not only does he choose to include us in the grand scheme of his activities, but he has also chosen to be in relationship with us in order to bless us in ways that are astounding. Every Sunday, wherever the people of God gather, it should be noted that praise to God should be a part of the agenda. Whenever you think about all that God has done from the beginning of creation, even to this very moment, we should all feel compelled to give God the glory that is due his name. For the scripture says that he is worthy to be praised. We serve a God who is limitless in power. We serve a God who is mighty in battle. We serve a God who looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. We serve a God who awakens us to brand new mercies every morning. And if the Lord should see fit to spare our lives on tomorrow, he will awaken us to fresh new mercy. Tell your neighbor, not spoiled mercy. Tell another neighbor, not leftover mercy. The Bible says that every morning he gives us brand new mercies. And I don't know about y'all, but I need that. Because every day it seems that I find a way to engage in some brand new mess. And I have a funny feeling and a sneaky suspicion that I'm not by myself. So we all ought to praise him for new mercies every day. We all ought to praise him because he looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. Every day, I'm grateful that we serve a God who does not run out of mercy. Am I the only one in here who's thankful that God never runs out of mercy? His mercy alone is enough reason for us to praise him. But y'all, if you think about it, he doesn't just afford us new mercy every day. Do you know what I figured out? I figured out that he gives us new grace. He gives us new love. He gives us new generosity. He gives us new kindness. He gives us new compassion. As a matter of fact, every time I turn around, he's blessing me. Every time we turn around, he keeps on making a way for us. Every time we open our eyes, he's doing something great for us. There is so much that we take for granted. Can I ask you a question this morning? How many times here in church today, how many times have your lungs expanded and contracted while you've been sitting here in church today? How many times did your heart beat just while you've been in church this morning? Now, and let me ask you this. How many times did you have to think about breathing? Or how many times did you have to think about your heart beating?
So in a real sense, it's beyond our control. Tell your neighbor, it's beyond our control. But God. I said, but God. Can anybody in this place say, but God? And what makes him so much more deserving of our praise is the fact that we really don't deserve it. I might be the only one in the room who can testify that many of the blessings that I've received from God have been in spite of me, in spite of my mess, in spite of my meanness, in spite of my low down and dirty ways. He blessed me anyway. And y'all, that's why I have to give him praise. All I'm trying to tell us is that we have a responsibility to give glory, or better yet, to make his glory known. Because in a real sense, we're not worthy enough to give God glory. Tell your neighbor, he's got it all already. And that's why Paul says glory be to God, because he's got it already. But when we say giving glory to God, we're just saying that it's my responsibility to make his glory known. Amen. Every time somebody looks at you, you ought to be making his glory known. Every time you wake up in the morning and have food on your table and clothes on your back, do you know what? You're making his glory known. Somebody ought to be able to look at you and say, because of you, I can give God some praise. We have a responsibility to give God our very best praise. And so Paul, the great apostle of the Lord's church, seeks to help the people of God in Ephesus understand that they have a God who has been so good to them that every time they gather together as God's people, they should give God the glory that is due his name. I love the way Paul gives us this great epistle, Ephesians. He gives to us this well-written, tightly packaged epistle to help us understand some things about our relationship with Jesus Christ so that we can become what I call comprehensive Christians. Tell your neighbor, God wants you to be a comprehensive Christian. Make it plain, Pastor. Make it plain, Pastor. I'm saying that as a believer, you ought to be complete in your understanding, and you need to, amen, understand so that we can be the people of God that we profess to be. Paul wants the people of God gathered at Ephesus, and even those of us gathered here this morning, to know that it is one thing to come to church, but it is something totally different to be the church. When you study this out, you realize that in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Ephesians, Paul lets them know about doctrine. Say doctrine. But in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he lets them know about discipline. And what he's saying in essence is that if you're going to be a complete, comprehensive Christian, you've got to not only know doctrine, you've got to also engage in discipline. Okay? In chapters 1, 2, and 3, he talks to us about our beliefs. But in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he talks to us about our behavior. Because if you're going to be a complete, comprehensive Christian, amen, then your beliefs and your behaviors ought to line up. Do I have a witness today? Well, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, he talks to us about what we know. But in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he talks to us about what we do. Because if you're going to be a complete Christian, what you know and what you do ought to go together. Do I have a witness today? See, you cannot leave what you learn in the sanctuary in the sanctuary. You've got to take it with you in the streets so that the light of Jesus Christ will shine through you. That's why a lot of folk, when you leave church, amen, you get out there and you got to try to make your light shine. But when you let the word get in you, and when you get in the word, you don't have to make your light shine. Come on, help me, somebody. The song said, let it shine. Do I have a witness today? And so not only does he let us know that what we believe and what we do must go together, not only does he let us know that our doctrine and our discipline must go together, something else he lets us know that our praying and our praise ought to go together. He lets us know that when we pray, every one of our prayers should include praise to God for who God is and for what God has done in your life. He literally suggests y'all to us that if we know that God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God, he suggests that before you stop praying, there should be some praise to God in the midst of your prayer, simply because you know that the God that you have been praying to is able to do what you have been asking for. Preach, Garner, preach, Garner. He literally says that if you know that the God to whom you're praying can do what you need him to do, then you should seal your prayer by giving him some praise. Oh my, oh my, oh my. When he gets to the 14th verse of the third chapter, he begins to talk to God about what's going on in the lives of those Christians to whom he's been preaching and teaching. He says to them, after he teaches them about their relationship with God through Jesus Christ, he gives what some call the pastor's prayer. And one thing, y'all, I love about Paul is that not only was Paul a great theologian, not only was Paul a great preacher, not only was Paul a great teacher, but tell your neighbor, Paul was a prayer warrior. Oh my, where are my prayer warriors at? He believes that praying for the people to whom God has given him charge is important. This praying man begins by asking God's blessings upon God's people. And sometimes I think Paul must have been a Baptist preacher, because when you look at, amen, this prayer, this pastor's prayer that Paul gives for the people of God, he's got a three-point prayer. And most Baptist preachers are going to have at least 3 points. Do I have a witness today? And so let's look at this three-point prayer that the apostle Paul, amen, prays to God for his people. He says, number one, he says, I am praying that your people would have supernatural strength. Lord, that's the first thing they need. I'm asking you, God, amen. I'm asking you to give them supernatural strength. He says, number two, I'm praying that they would have, watch this, super situational stability. And when I get to alliterating, all kind of stuff comes up. Amen. Amen. He says, number one, Lord, I'm praying that you would give them supernatural power. But number two, I'm praying that you would give them super situational strength. And then, amen, amen, he says, I'm praying finally that they would have superlative satisfaction. Now, in order for you to get this, you need to understand that Paul was not only praying for the church at Ephesus. Tell your neighbor, he was praying for you and me too. And what he prays is that the people of God would have supernatural strength, super situational stability, and superlative satisfaction. Y'all, that's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Because number one, when he says, Lord, give them supernatural strength, he's saying that the people of God ought to have strength from the Holy Ghost in their inner being. He says, Lord, this is what I'm praying. Since my people are now clear about what they believe and about what they know about you and about doctrine, I'm praying that you will help them, amen, to have strength by the Holy Spirit in their inner being. I want them to be strong, even when the world thinks they're weak. I want them to be strong even when they cannot comprehend nor understand where their strength is coming from. Lord, I want you to empower them with a strength that supersedes their knowledge and understanding. I want them to have supernatural strength. Let me tell you, this is not the kind of strength that you get by going to the gym 3 or 4 times a week. Somebody ought to say thank you. This is not the kind of strength that you get by taking your one a day, your vitamins. This is not the kind of strength that you get by eating your vegetables. This strength, according to Paul, comes from the Holy Ghost. It's not external where you can see it. See, a lot of times we get caught up in you know, the show. A lot of us get caught, amen, if you ain't got a shout, if you ain't got a dance, amen, some folk will look at you and think you don't have nothing. That's what I call, amen, showroom Christians. But the true test of what you know about God and how close you are to Him is not by what you do in the showroom. But you've heard me say before, it ought to be predicated upon how you act in the shop. Y'all ever been down there to Hickson or Alford? You know, the showroom is up front. All the pretty, amen, cars that are running real good, everything is right with them. They're in the showroom because they want you to see that. But if you keep going and going in the back, there's some shop. Where are my shop Christians? Where are my folk who are willing to say, be patient with me because, baby, God ain't through with me yet? Where are my Christians that are able to say, amen, amen, don't judge me by how I look on Sunday? Do I have a witness today? And so Paul says, God, I want you to give them the kind of strength that's on the inside. You may not see it on the outside, but it's the strength that's working on the inside. Y'all, I'm talking about the kind of strength that even when you're taking a licking, you can keep on ticking. Y'all don't want to say nothing back to me, but some of y'all know, you know it's a challenge to go to your job.
Amen. Every day.
And some of you, amen, it's such a struggle that you really, if it were just for the money, you would have quit a long time ago. But you realize God has you there for a reason, and somehow between your Sunday night and your Monday morning, the Holy Ghost empowers you to get up and look at those crazy folk all over again. Thank God for what's on the inside. Because greater is He that is what? In me than he that's in the world. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those situations where life tries to knock the life out of you. But the Holy Ghost empowers you to keep on standing even when your enemies thought you should have been down for the count. As a matter of fact, I believe I'm looking at some people who can testify that your enemies are still trying to figure out how you made it. Some of your haters, amen, they plotted against you. They planned against you, and yet you show up on a rainy Sunday morning and they're sitting there looking at you trying to figure out how you survive. That's why when I come into the house of God, I'm going to get my praise on. I'm going to get my worship on because I know there's some haters watching me. Don't fool yourself. Not everybody up in here is here to congratulate you. Don't let the devil steal your joy. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Amen. Because of the power that I get from the Holy Ghost. Power to keep on keeping on. Power to keep on saying I'll make it. Power to keep on saying I was down to my last dime. But Jesus stepped in right on time. Power to keep saying amen, amen, amen. I was sick and I couldn't get well, but He healed my body. And now I can tell. The power to say, I will make it. And can I tell you how I'm going to make it and how you can make it? I'm going to make it because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on and thank God if you know you got the Holy Ghost in your heart and in your life. But then secondly, he prays that they might have super situational stability. He says, Lord, what I want is, I want them to be so rooted and grounded in you. I want them to be rooted and grounded in you in such a way that no matter the situation or the circumstance, your people will be able to stand. I know that life can present many slippery slopes, so I want them to be rooted and grounded, but not just in anything. When you study this out, you realize that Paul tells God definitively how and in what he wants them to be rooted. He says, God, I want them to be rooted in your love. Oh my, he literally says to them that when the slippery slopes of life show up, you should have a grounding, a footing that is so secure that it won't allow you to fall down without the ability to get back up again. He says that I want you to have so much stability that even if you bend, you won't break. Ooh, come on, where are my witnesses who know that life will lean you over real good?